We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Church, again, welcome everyone in the house today. We warmly welcome you. If it's your first time coming to church, you are welcome and we are glad that you're here today. At the moment, we've been going through a series which is all about what difference does Easter make. And we've been hearing from different ones sharing about what difference Easter makes. And last week, an incredible message that Ashil Mayala shared, which was all about what difference Easter made for Barabbas. And I was actually hoping Mayala was here because I feel like he sucked up all the anointing last time. So I'm hoping he's left at least a little bit for me today. But with that being said, I just want to say thank you to the eldership of the church just for giving this opportunity to share the word with you all. It's I don't take it lightly that I get this opportunity to be able to share the word with you all. Amen. So as I say, we're still continuing this same series about what difference Easter makes. And today I'm sharing on what difference did Easter make for the disciples going to Emmaus. What difference did Easter make to the disciples going to Emmaus? Okay, my reading today, I'm going to recap before I go to it, but it will be coming from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through to 34. That's what I'll be reading from. But just so then I can set the scene and the context of where this message is from or what this kind of these disciples who are on the road to Emmaus were all about. In essence, where we are in time, at least just before this passage, Jesus had died. Jesus had died. He had been crucified. He had been beaten. He had already been put into Joseph's tomb. And then after that, miraculously, even though the tomb was sealed and the Roman soldiers were holding against it, it was miraculously moved away, this rock. And it wasn't yet common knowledge to all, even though Jesus foretold it, that Jesus had now rose again, that he had now basically, he was now back amongst the living and he was among us. Amen. And so I guess where this story really goes into, it's, you know, for the disciples, or for those who were followers of Jesus, so any of those who were followers of Jesus, it was quite a difficult time. For them, for a lot of them, they had given up all that they had. They had given up, you know, the professions that they had to follow this man, Jesus, as they believed that, yes, this is the Messiah, this is the King that we had been waiting for. And then, all of a sudden, he dies. They had this great expectation from him that, you know what, he'll be liberating them from the oppression that they had from the Romans and those ones who were oppressing them at the time. And then this man dies, and then 3 days later, they're still waiting to see what is going on. What is going on? So that's when we come to this story. In it's only found in Luke, and it's in Luke 24. I'm going to be reading from verse 13, and it says this. That same day, two of Jesus' followers, so this is the day of resurrection, and Jesus hadn't met so many people at this point. He says, followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. So Jesus, he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? And they stopped short, sadness written all over their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened these last few days. Jesus asked them, what things? The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet. He did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and all the other religious leaders, they handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel.
This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of these followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran over to see, and you see, sure enough, his body had gone, just as the women had said. Just as the women had said. Now, for me, this passage is incredible because you can tell that these followers of Jesus really believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But this part in the text where it says they had believed that he was the Messiah. So part of them was still defeated among them to say, with downcast in their face, say, is this really who he was? There was a bit of confusion about them to say, actually, is this really the Messiah that they were talking of? And then Jesus, I'm just going to come back into the story, in verse 25. And he says this, Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures things concerning him. May God bless the reading of his word. So I'm going to be going through five learnings. I think I just want to share from what we've from this story about these two disciples who are on the road to Emmaus. And the first is this. The first point is that hear what you need to hear. Hear what you need to hear. Interestingly enough, for these disciples, these followers of Jesus, although they had doubt in their mind, one thing which I do find amazing about them and a wisdom about them was that they took the time to hear what Jesus had to say. Even though they didn't know, they had the wisdom to be able to hear someone out, to help them to understand what was happening in their time. So in verse 27, it says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from the scriptures the things concerning himself. So although at this point, they didn't understand fully that this was Jesus because it was hidden from them, they were wise enough to stick and say, you know what, let me hear what is going on. Yes, there's a bit of confusion about who this Jesus is, but let me take some time to hear. Now, the Bible doesn't say exactly what Jesus walked them through, but I can only start to imagine as I start to look in the Old Testament, what are some of the elements that Jesus may have brought up? Now, bear in mind, at this point, the believers at that time, they're not as lucky as us. They don't have the New Testament like we do. So Jesus was revealing to these disciples all from the Old Testament that everything that happened really was him and it really was the Messiah who was crucified. So in the Old Testament, we come across items like the Passover. And as a matter of fact, this weekend they had just gone over was actually the Passover time for these disciples. And what that was when the children of Israel were escaping Egypt, the last plague that Moses pretty much instilled in God on Pharaoh's followers, shall I say, was that every firstborn son would die. And during Passover, what they did was that the angels of God, they instructed the Moses and the people to make sure that they lined the doorposts with blood as a covering to say, so that then death can pass over from their house. In the same way, Jesus then becomes that Passover sacrifice for us, covering the blood so that then when death comes, it passes over us. I can imagine Jesus would also been going through the different texts, like going through Jonah to say Jonah was in the belly of the beast. Well, belly of the beast, belly of the big fish, you know, for 3 days and three nights. You know, I have to check your listening, you know, just. But yeah, so the same way that Jesus would tell the Pharisees to say that the only sign I will show you to this wicked and perverse nation, that the only thing you will see is that I'll be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, just like Jonah was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days and three nights. He would have been going through showing them how all the different people in the Old Testament all led to actually point to Jesus. When we look through the Old Testament, we actually find Christ throughout all of it. I was collating some of the verses here and to see what the difference between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus just from the Old Testament. So in Micah 5:2, we hear about how this Savior will be born from Bethlehem. That happened. That he'll be conceived through a virgin. And that happened, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 53 talks about this suffering servant who was beaten, a suffering servant who had been rejected, who had no beauty, who had to go through suffering, who went through piercing, and he was a lamb to the slaughter. All of that, all in the Old Testament. Zechariah 12:10, pierced and mourned. All of these things, I can imagine Jesus just trying to walk through the scriptures with these two disciples and say, can you not see? Are you hearing that actually all this while the one you have been looking for was Jesus? That he really was the Son of God, that he really was the Messiah that we were looking for. And I can imagine throughout this whole discourse as they're going through, they would have been nodding along to understand, you know, as they are hearing. And we know the word of God says, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. I can imagine in that time as they're walking with Jesus that their faith would have been building and their faith would have been actually going, you know what, actually we were following the Lord. That actually this really was Jesus. And to them, I can only imagine how great a news that would have been. And my next point is this. After you accept to hear what you need to hear, we also need to accept that we need to experience what we need to experience. Going back to the chapter, Luke 24. In 28, it says, by this time, they were nearing Emmaus. So all this time that they've been hearing from Jesus, sharing with them. And at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he was just going on. You know, but then they begged him, stay the night with us, since it is getting late. So he went home with them, and they sat down to eat, and he took bread and blessed it, and they broke it. You know, I love this discourse. It's amazing because Jesus was almost pretending to be a cool guy. He's like, you know what, guys, I'll see you later. You know, but then, you know, these guys, you know, from hearing what they were hearing, they were like, you know what, I can't be deprived of this experience that I'm having with this man who is sharing this good news of the word of God. They were like, you know what, this experience can't end so quickly. We need to continue having this experience. So they called Jesus. They called Jesus, no, you must come home with us. And then Jesus was like, okay, fine. You know, and Jesus always accepts a call to food. I've noticed that in scripture. I think that's probably why this is the faith for me, you know. But, you know, experiencing what you need to experience. One thing that I have found incredible is that although at times gathering with the people of God, sometimes, you know, you always think to yourself, ah, man, do I really need to go to that meeting or do I really want to go to this thing? Every time, I have never regretted being in a time with God or being in a time with God's people. Every time, you know, even when I'm dragging my feet to go, all of a sudden, when I get into the discussion, you get to hearing the word of God, all of a sudden you realize, wow, how incredible and how glad I am. But we always forget so quickly, isn't it? That this is how it's like. And you know, that, I think that's the difference between an experience with God and choosing to be with God compared to an experience with the world. You know, one experience I cannot stand is when you go to a restaurant or you order some food, you know, with great expectation to be like, you know what, this is going to be an incredible time, and you order this food and then you get your plate and then you're getting through it and then you're like, oh man, what is going on here? You know, you know, and you know, after you've built up the whole day to say, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this time, and then all of a sudden it just never turns out to be what you thought it was going to be. And I guess that's the difference between the experiences we have in the world and the experience of the things off the world, is that oftentimes they never meet our expectation, or they're always underwhelming. But then when it comes to Jesus, and when it comes to communing with him and having an experience with him, he never ever disappoints. Every single time, the experience that we have with God will always build us. He will always cause us to be closer to him, and will always cause us to desire more and more to be within his presence and among his people. This is what I have. So that's my point, that God, we will never regret a time that we spend with God. We will never regret a time whereby we engage with God's people. You know, I love the fact that we've got things like MLC groups, we've got different ministry groups. I tell you now, let's continue to strive to continue experiencing God when he's with us. I mean, you know, there's a common verse that we recite, where we say, where two or three are gathered, there he is also. That's where he is also. Isn't it incredible that where these two disciples decided to gather to hear and experience more of God, Jesus was also there at the same time. that Jesus chooses to be there every time, whenever people choose to experience him. And the truth of the matter is this, is that within our walk, if you're like me, there's almost spiritual landmarks within our walk in the faith. There's always those times which completely change our trajectory within our relationship with God. And those ones are the exact experiences I'm talking about today, that at times what we need to be able to go into is to make sure that we accept the call to being in an experience and being in an encounter with the Lord. I think of the youth camp that we've got in 2 weeks. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an awesome time with God, and we're going to experience God. I'm really looking forward to it. I think of, you know, the ladies' conference. You know, I know it's going to be an amazing time. Again, these are all experiences. Our faith conference at the end of July, these are all times where we get to commune with God, and we get to commune with one another and experience God among us as we gather as a people. And here's my third point. We must choose to see what you need to see. See what you need to see. Interestingly, for one reason or the other, Jesus chose to hide himself. So you know, I don't know. I mean, the whole encounter for me of this road to Emmaus is incredible, because these two people are just walking along the road. Jesus suddenly appears, and they just accepted it like it's nothing, you know. So all of a sudden, there's three of them walking down the road. But then, yes, as they are hearing all that they are hearing, it still dawned on them that they hadn't really realized that actually this person who is speaking to me is the Lord Jesus. It never dawned on them, right? And then in verse 31, just after Jesus had broken the bread, the word of God says, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. So interestingly, the word recognize that is used in this particular portion of scripture is, it's actually talking more about just recognizing. It's actually talking about a discovering, that you discover something. It's like an epiphany to say all of a sudden it hit you like a train to say, oh, this is what's happening. It wasn't just like a typical, oh, this is just Jesus. It hit them suddenly that, my goodness, this is the King of Glory, that this is the Lord that they were looking for. This is the Lord that they want. And isn't it, I mean, even as I share with myself, it's incredible how I was. I come from a predominantly Christian country, which amongst a Christian family, and you know, I think it's probably the same for many of us here. And you know, throughout our lives, we hear the word of God. We always hear what God is doing. But for me, it's the difference that happened in my life was at the time when my eyes were opened and I could finally see. Really recognize the epiphany of actually saying, you know what, this man who I've been hearing about is more than just a man, but that he's Lord. He is the God of my life. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who makes all things to be. Yeah. A difference. And the sad part was, throughout my so-called Christian walk, I hadn't realized that I did not see. I didn't realize that actually I've been blind all along, that actually there is a moment in our lives whereby God reveals himself through his Holy Spirit, who he really is, beyond just the words that we see. It's interesting because I've heard of Bible scholars, complete Bible scholars, who read the word of God back to front, back to back, better than anyone probably in this room can ever recite it, but then without the revelation, without the eyes opened of who he is. So to them, it's a scriptural reference. So, and you know, just the other day, funny enough, I watched this video. There was this young girl. I don't know what game show it was, but I was amazed. In any case, I think the context of it was the contestants there had to memorize a book in the Bible. And then they would kind of quiz you on the book. And then, you know, after they quiz you on it, you then have to recite the exact scripture as it was, you know, word for word kind of thing. You know, and this young girl, she must have been about 8, 9 years old, so on and so forth. And I remember this question coming up, and it was paraphrased something along the lines of, you know, reference the verse whereby the mother of the fourth son of Jacob is, so on. Yeah. And this little girl, you know, she pondered, and it was in Ruth, you know. And I was thinking, hey, Ruth, you memorized Ruth, you know? And straight after that, she said back this whole verse, these three verses, word for word, absolutely got it, one by one, you know, every word. And then she was like, oh, so what, do you think you got it right? And she was like, I think I got 500 points. And they were right. It was like, yes, you got your 500 points. And the biggest smile on your face was there to say, actually, she got it exactly right. And to me, at first, I was marveling because I was like, this is incredible. But then the next thought that I then had was, I wonder if she is just reading the book for the sake of being able to contest and be able to recite scripture. Or was it because the word that she's reading has actually transformed her from the inside out? So at first I was kind of happy to say, oh yeah, this kid can actually recite scripture. Then on the other side, I was thinking, my goodness, I hope she knows the Lord. I hope, you know, it's not just scripture's just been passed over to her. And I was praying, you know, Lord, I hope that, you know, her eyes have been opened. I just pray. And I guess it's the same thing for us that, you know, when we ask ourselves with our walk today, it's a good time to pause to actually say, you know what, Lord, have my eyes really been opened? Have I been going with the flow? Have I been following the religion, quote unquote, of it all? Or do I need that moment where my heart is transformed and my heart is turned to God and I say, you know what, well and truly, I believe that the power of God did raise Jesus from the dead. That the Holy Spirit isn't just someone I can read about, but he's a true and living God.
Amen.
Amen. And for them, so for these disciples, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. So from moving from understanding who Jesus is and moving from just understanding from just the words that he shared to understanding that this is the Messiah. And for us, what does that look like today? Maybe all our lives we've been hearing all about who Jesus is. We've been hearing about what hell and heaven is, about sin, maybe about living holy, about what parenting is. But then our eyes open to say, you know what, Lord, I need you to show me well and truly what it's like when my eyes have been opened and your word is revealed to me. And here's the next point, point number four. We need to feel what we need to feel. To feel what you need to feel. And they said this in verse 32 of Luke 24. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Our hearts burn within us. For me, it's incredible because I think what that really shows, the way that they are describing this this encounter with the Lord as he was sharing his word, was one of actually what they were hearing was just beyond just hearing. It was moving something within them. The Holy Spirit had come alive within them that all of a sudden their hearts were burning with excitement, burning with awe, burning with compassion and conviction of what the word of God had been saying to them. And for us, it's exactly that. I find it incredible that one of the things which we know, the word of God says that we are made in the likeness of God. God has feelings. God, we see the display of God. You know, God at times he has sorrow. God at times he has anger but does not sin. God at times, you know, we will have compassion over different ones. And again, within us, we have that same ability to be able to feel, to be able to feel. And I think God, even within this, is calling us to be able to feel what this word of God leads us to feel. In this same way, it's incredible because, again, in my work, I felt that different ones at different times have caused me to feel different things about different people. You know when you meet an evangelist or someone who's just very evangelical, all of a sudden they stir our spirits to make sure that, you know what, actually, I need to be passionate about the word of God. I need to be passionate about sharing his word. When I meet somebody who is just filled with holiness and is filled, you know, you are drawn to righteousness and you are drawn to actually say, you know what, Lord, I feel it in me, the conviction in me to make sure that I walk a righteous walk, that I walk a walk that is pleasing to God. And I believe that God, even within this verse, is calling us to say, you know what, our hearts need to burn. Amen. For him once again. That our hearts need to burn with wanting more and more of him and wanting to be able to hear his word and also the following transformation that comes through his word and his word alone. God will never deprive us of understanding his word. And because of that, he will always continue to send people our way to make sure that we do come to an understanding of what he has for us, even in this time. And this is my last point. This is my last point. We must come to a point whereby we share what we need to share. So after one has heard what they need to hear, when they hear what they need to hear, when they experience what they need to experience, and when we see what we need to see, even after you feel what you need to feel, there is an element of also sharing. So I'm reading from, starting from Luke 24, 33. And it says this, and within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and all who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter, then to the two from Emmaus, and told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And listen to this. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly was standing there among them. Peace be with you. For me, the incredible thing is that, you know, we can't fall short of keeping God to ourselves. When the disciples who had encountered God and were sharing back with these other disciples, all of a sudden, God then actually came to be among them. Jesus actually appeared before them and actually was like, was basically among them. All because of what? Because he chose to share, well, the disciples chose to share their encounter and they chose to share their experience with God. And then the reason why Jesus wants us to continue to do this is because that is the only way that he will be glorified. Jesus wants to give us a testimony. He wants to give us a story so that then that way we are able to share. And as we share, all of a sudden Jesus will be right there among us. That Jesus will actually come forth and actually show himself. That you say, yes, here I am every time when we choose to share him in his word. And I think the most incredible thing about this story was that the reality of who Jesus was became solid in that moment. For them, this small journey, which looked as though they were just walking on a road, came from people who were just hearing of God's word, who were a little bit confused, actually being transformed completely to people who have experienced Jesus and have come to the point in which actually they're the ones who are actually sharing about him. All within a very short space of time. All because they had an experience with the Lord Jesus. An experience with the Lord Jesus causes us to be able to come to the place whereby we can't help but share who he is. Amen. Completely compelled to say, yes, I want others to know about this God who is alive. This God who died, who didn't only just die, but then he also rose again. And not only did he rise again, he was also compassionate enough to be able to share his word with those disciples. And he's still compassionate enough today to share his word with us individually. He's still compassionate enough to make sure that every single person will have an opportunity to be able to hear about the goodness of God and the story that he has to share through us. Amen. Amen. I, for one, as I say, this particular portion of scripture is one I have overlooked many a times. Because literally it's about a people walking on a road. And that road to me represents a journey that we're on. And all of us today, regardless of what part of your journey you're on, we are all part of that journey. We are all on our journey. And whether we know it or not, Jesus is right there beside us, walking right beside us in the same way that he was walking with the disciples. Amen. He's been speaking to us, making sure that we hear what he has to say. He has been giving us opportunities to experience him in different ways. He has been making sure that he affords himself the ability to be able to be seen so that then we can see his glory and we can see who he is. He has made sure that we can actually even feel within our own heart the conviction when we actually hear about his word to say that really and truly it is him. And for me today, the reason why I'm so passionate about sharing about the goodness of God and who he is because the transformation that happened to these people where they've got confidence in their faith, I now carry today. a confidence in knowing that my God rose again, that he didn't die and was not just laid in a tomb. He rose again, and because, well, why did he die? Because of my sin. Amen. He died to redeem me, and we are now the redeemed of the Lord. We are now the ones who are called after his name only because he made it to be so, that he chose to say that actually he will not neglect these ones who are worthy of death, that we have been replaced, that he took our place. In the same way as Jesus, I can imagine he would have been sharing about how with Abraham and Isaac, and he provided a ram to be slain. Jesus was slain for each one of us. Even today, this is the last Sunday before Good Friday. I just want to take a moment today and ask ourselves, Lord, I have heard about you. You know, I love Easter. I love Easter because Easter, we're always drawn to coming back to looking at the cross. The reason why we can even have a faith today. You know, and the reason why I love Easter is because as we look back to the cross, you know, has it just been a message that we have heard time and time again? Is it a story that we now carry in us as a way of remembering Christ but not really living and being alive in us? Have you seen who this God is? Has your heart started to burn for him? The same way that these disciples' hearts burned when they heard his word. You know, even as I was preparing for this message, I felt in my heart that there is a renewing that will happen even as I share this word, that there will be those who will hear this word, not because I said it, but because the Holy Spirit does this word. You know, the words I could say, you can take from it what you will, but what we really want is the Holy Spirit to be able to work within us. I believe that there are some today who in their hearts have known the Lord for the sake of knowing him, known him as a figure, as the one who they've been taught about. But the ones who I want to speak to today are the ones who are saying, actually, I want to be taught by Jesus who the Lord is. That just like the disciples had the opportunity for Jesus to reveal himself to them, that they also want him to reveal himself to yourselves directly. So I'm going to pray. I will ask if that is for anyone, with all eyes closed, if you can just raise your hand, I'll pray. It's nothing spooky. I just want to pray to say, you know what, Lord, would you reveal yourself the way that you revealed yourself to the disciples suddenly when that bread broke and he was revealed, that you will also have that living knowledge. On the count of three, if you can raise your hand. One, Jesus loves you. He wants you to know him truly. Two, he died for you and your sins are forgiven, but he wants you to partake of it. Three, all we need to do is to receive him to be able to receive eternal life. With every hand raised around the room, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those hands, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those hands, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, Father, with their hands raised. God, I thank you that even through this story, Lord Jesus, of just about disciples walking to confused, not knowing which way to go, Lord, I thank you that you are renewing, that you're renewing yourself, that God, you are revealing yourself anew. God, I thank you that you are a God who lives. You're not just a God who doesn't reveal himself to his children, but God, you are faithful enough, God, Father, to be able to show your face. And God, Father, to reveal yourself for who you really are. So God, I pray for those with their hands raised, that God, what you did with every believer in this house today, Lord, where you showed yourself, that God, you will do the same. And God, you will do greater. And that God, you will show that you are mighty and that you are still alive today. That you are not a figure in people's imagination, that God, you are not just somebody contained within a book in pages, but that God, you are a God who lives and a God who reigns. And Lord Jesus, I thank you because you make us alive, and God, we're alive through you. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.